Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Techno Wizard, Techno Shaman, Arco Futurist, and other cool stuff too. It is Sunday, May 12th. Oh, sorry, I just saw this message, this thing put on me about ending my service. I had to look at that. Anyways, Sunday, May 12th, 6:23 p.m., 2024. I think this is going to be a relatively quick episode. I will see. but I just want to do a quick, little talk about some thoughts I've been having. I just put out a video on my YouTube channel. So go check that out if you like. It's me discussing a little bit about what I've talked about before in terms of what is the process for changing the world, for building a better future. Throughout that video, I looked at some inspiration in terms of nature and user-centered design, as well as the Kendrick, I'm calling it the Kendrick Crusade. I don't want to call it the Kendrick Drake beef. I'm going to call it the Kendrick Crusade. And I looked at that as an example, a potential blueprint for how we can take down, corrupt systems or institutions or people. And as I stated in that video, even though it's fairly early on, like it's only been a week or so, the impact that has seemed to resound throughout the world already. And I am very, I'll say optimistic about, where this might lead. Not too optimistic. I know it's not going to be world changing. There's still plenty of problems to look at, right? But I do think that there's going to be some significant impact from this entire event. So we'll see where this actually goes. But something that came up during that time, listening to people and watching people and reading comments and all this other stuff, something that I have noticed and that has been very apparent before, but really kind of crystallized for me, is the fact of consumerism, right? Like, obviously consumerism has always been a problem, but specifically in regards to people who seem to be aware of the problems of consumerism, right? Like, I have no real, like, it's obvious where certain people or a lot of people who don't really care too much about what's going on in the world, right? That is its own issue. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving those folks a pass, but I'm not too surprised where a lot of people who don't really care about the world, they just kind of like living their lives and, try to put their heads in the sand and keep going like that. It's not surprising that those types of people view these sorts of events as like, oh, more content, right? But it does, maybe not surprise me, but it does come off as very unfortunate, right? As very problematic, even, I would say, when people who are fully aware of the problems of consumerism and capitalism and the problems of like what folks like Drake stand for in the industry, right, who understand those problems and can even communicate them, but still kind of treat this as like, oh yeah, content, right? There's a big, in my opinion, hypocrisy there, and there's a big issue with not realizing the power that they are submitting themselves to, I suppose. I want to put it like that, perhaps. So let me make this a little bit more clear, right? I've seen some folks who are like, oh yeah, I'm a fan of Drake's. Like, I listen to his music and everything like that, and I'm still going to listen to it after this. Like, that to me is absolutely insane, right? Specifically for, again, as people who are relatively conscious of like the events that's going on in the world. To me, that's akin to saying like, I'm okay with, I don't want to get too crazy with this, because again, you know, this stuff has not been 100% confirmed yet, even though there's been a lot of fairly strong, you know, instances and things like that to look at. But it's still nonetheless kind of like, well, I'll say, oh yeah, it's like a lot of people are, the fact that a lot of people are a fan of Jay-Z, even though it has been well known that Jay-Z does not care about the culture of hip-hop, right? He has always been a capitalist, or attempting to be a capitalist, right? He's always wanted to be a capitalist. He's always treated hip-hop as a tool to make money, right? And from some standpoint, it's understandable why some people would see that as like, well, would not see the problem with that, right? They're like, yeah, get your bag, right? You gotta get your bag, right? Those people are blind to capitalism, right? Those people, I would very much say, are, you know, what's the term? Like Afro-pessimist, maybe? I don't know. I might be misusing that term. I don't want to say it like that, because I'm learning about Afro-pessimism, and I don't know enough about it to really say. But I would definitely say that they're either they know the problems of capitalism but are extremely pessimistic in regards to what we can do about it, or, you know, they tend to be pro-capitalist type of folks. And I think that's highly problematic because if you are the type of person that can understand the problems of capitalism and turn around and be like, yeah, get your bag, whatever means necessary, that not only is that extremely hypocritical, but that is just bad politics, right? And I don't mean like as in trying to be PC. No, I'm talking about like your actions do not line up with your goals, right? Like the things you're advocating for, the things that you are letting slide, the things that you are perhaps even doing in your life do not line up with the life that you want to build, with the goals that you say you want to build. And that is extremely problematic, because if we want to create a better world, we can't do so by just letting so many things slide with what's wrong with the world today. That's why we're here, right? It's because so many people let so many things slide. And so there's a lot of elements to this that I want to get into. We're gonna start with music, but we're gonna get into how this relates to pretty much anything else, right? Because that's the fun thing about life, is that everything is connected in some way, somehow. So like I said before, there's people who are like, oh yeah, I'm a fan of Drake. And the reason why I have a problem with this, again, in regards to people who are conscious of the problems of capitalism and how the industry has commoditized hip-hop specifically, right? If you are aware of that and still are a fan of Drake, that's just, it just seems so blind. It just seems so silly to me. So ridiculous even. Because once again, people like Drake, all right, have been shown to not care about the culture, right? And meaning that they do not care about the negative side effects of their actions, right? They have been shown time and time again to essentially be parasites, right? To want to take something from the culture, from people who are doing these things, and offer pretty much nothing back. The most that they might, quote unquote, offer is exposure. And to me, that is not a good thing, right? That's just the same as being like, as an intern, or not paying your interns or whatever, because you're like, oh, you're going to get exposure. We already know that that's not a good thing. Even though, you can find benefit from that. Like, shoot, I've even done that. I've worked for free at a space because it didn't give me exposure, but it did give me experience, right? And on an individual level, on the person-to-person level, on a, you know, one person at a time, if we're just looking at I'm looking at an opportunity I want to have and I can do this, right? Yes, you can justify that. But the problem is when this happens on a systemic level, right? It's something different for when an individual, like me or you, whatever, decides for themselves, I'm going to do this thing because I need to, you know, make moves, right? Because I live in a system that unfortunately is not going to give me many opportunities on its own, so I need to make something happen. That's a different thing than if an institution or an influential person, right, who already has some level of money, power, respect, influence, whatever, right, who has won in some instances, right, turns around and continues that process, right? That's like me saying I'm going to get like, or even where I'm at now, right? Like, I've gotten to a point where I actually have a career. I'm making the salary, right? I'm making decent money, not middle class or anything like that yet, but you know, I'm have some level of success. And that's like me saying I'm going to turn around and and say, oh yeah, if you want me to teach you how I got here, or want me to give you some experience, or this, that, and the other, come do this work for me for free. Right? Like, that is not okay. That is not good. Right? And I'm not saying Drake has done this exactly, but it's to me, it's a similar type of thing, right? To where he has put some people on, like people say, oh, you know, 21 Savage, Future, you know, even Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that. He has put these people on, sure. But not only is that part of the game, right, in terms of when people get labels and everything like that, that's the whole job of the label, is to give those smaller artists exposure by putting them with bigger artists, right? And it's not really clear if Drake himself says, yes, I'm going to choose these people, or if the industry behind him said, you know, we want you to work with these people. It's not clear on that end. Let's be honest there. But also, like I said before, there's a difference between you as an individual doing this and the system itself operating as such. Right, if the system itself operates as this big artist goes and takes a lot of these younger artists and exposes them to new audiences, that's, well, I'm not going to say that's great per se, and I'll explain why shortly, but that's understandable. But on top of that, right, where this becomes fairly nefarious no matter how you look at it, is if and when those artists do not get much from it, right, besides that exposure, right, meaning they do not actually get much money from it, right, they do not actually get much more exposure, right, where a lot of the people listening to them are not really listening to them because they care about that artist, that indie artist, but because they only are there, they're only fans of the big artist, right? And there's a fine line there. There's a fine line, don't get me wrong. And it's hard to really walk that line. But it's something to be cognizant of, right? If the, goodness, there's so many elements to this. So if the artist, they're putting on these smaller artists, right? But the smaller artists are not getting good deals from that, right? Because of the bigger artist's management label or whatever, distribution deals or whatever, you know, does not have good cuts for those smaller artists, then that smaller artist is putting in a lot of work and may not get very much from it, right? And we actually see that sort of problem with The Weeknd, right? This is why The Weeknd had beef with Drake and OVO. If you go and do some research, you'll see they had, you know, these types of things where Drake wanted The Weeknd on his label, but The Weeknd did not want to do that, right? He wanted to be independent or whatever. I don't know. I don't remember all the details. There's so much going on. But basically, The Weeknd tried to do his own thing, and Drake allegedly, right? Drake and OVO allegedly kept basically making it harder for The Weeknd to do his own thing, essentially, on the industry side. That's the alleged, you know, that's some of the alleged things there. The problem is that it's so hard to actually know what's going on because there's so much backroom deals in the industry that it's just, the whole thing is crap. It's a crapshoot to actually understand what the quote unquote facts are, right? But anyways, another element to this that I don't see enough people talking about, or really anybody, is that you have to really consider whether or not it should even be something that we should be doing in terms of smaller artists getting exposed to bigger audiences. And I know this is a very hot take, probably, right? But I mentioned this before in one of my the other videos, or goodness, podcasts, is that you have to really consider whether or not hip-hop should be mainstream in the first place, right? And a good example of this is if you look at rock and, you know, metal and stuff like that. The same thing happened there, right? Where the genre got really popular at some point, and then a lot of the music became so watered down that many of the actual fans of the genre who liked it for the technique, for all this stuff that you can get from it, you know, were disappointed with it. And then it got played out, and now the only real, like, not well, somewhat, like, many of the fans of rock or metal are hardcore fans. Like, it's not, you're not gonna really hear a whole lot of, you know, of the more avant-garde rock or metal music on, like, a mainstream radio, right, for instance, or in the club, of course, right? Like, it's its own niche culture, right? It's a fairly big one compared to, you know, some other more niche things, but it's still not something that you would, you know, see on your day-to-day basis, per se. And there's some lessons we can learn from that, but the point here is that just because a genre of music or art or whatever has the capability to become big, to become mainstream, does not necessarily mean that that's a good thing, right? Because as we see in so many other areas, like with technology and things like that, as the quote goes, or something like the quote, you can't appeal to everybody, right? By trying to be everything for everyone, you become nothing for anyone, for no one, right? It becomes meaningless. It becomes watered down. It becomes so saturated and so mid, essentially, that it's essentially meaningless, right? It essentially kills the art. So I think there's a conversation that we need to have in the hip-hop community and even in the black culture at large to ask ourselves, you know, what is the role of becoming popular, right, and in the art form? And again, a huge problem with this is that, unfortunately, this is not really even a conversation that is super viable right now because we live under a capitalistic system. Many people use this, as I mentioned before, the art form came from people wanting to express their lives, like what they're going through and their feelings and stuff like that, in a productive, healthy way. But eventually it became more than that. It became a ticket out of the hood, right? It became, you know, a way for people, a lottery ticket, essentially, right? It became a way for people to live the American dream. But the problem with that is, of course, with capitalism, that is a dream for the vast majority of people who are going to be trying to make music, or even in regards to sports or this, that, and the other, right? The vast majority of people will not be able to make a living with this thing. And so if you try to position this thing, whether it be art, sports, or whatever, as a ticket out, then it becomes, you know, something where people no longer really care about the art or the sport or whatever. They're just doing it because they want to make it rich, right? They want to become rich and famous. They want to get the things, the materials. And so it becomes harder and harder on both the artist side to make it big, because the marketplace, right, the landscape, the environment becomes more and more saturated, overly saturated to an extent. And on the other hand, on the art side, the art itself becomes more and more watered down, because it's trying to appeal to more and more people and wider audiences who don't have the cultural background that the art is meant to speak to and to speak of, right? And so when people who are not from that cultural background are trying to do the art, not only does it come off as appropriative a lot oftentimes, but oftentimes come off as inauthentic and even parasitic, right? As the case with Drake. Because if they do not come from a background where you had to struggle, right, to live, if you're fighting through poverty and racial discrimination and this, that, and the other, then what are you talking about, right? Then you begin to talk about things like, you know, I don't know, started from the bottom even though you didn't, right? You either begin to try and replicate the kayfabe, right? Not realizing that it's kayfabe, meaning that you try to copy the imagery that you see, the stories that you hear being told, without understanding that many of those stories are either dramatized in order to, again, express a real thing, or you don't realize that they're not trying to glorify this thing, these things. They're trying to express them, but you begin to then glorify them because you think that's what you're supposed to do, because you don't understand where people are coming from. Or on the other side of that, you try to replicate it, right? And this is something I was just like talking about in one of my other discords. Is like somebody brought up how you had this weird effect where Black culture can get basically corrupted, right? Meaning somebody takes this idea of what they think Black culture is, that's not of the culture, repackages that as this other thing, as a stereotype of Black culture, and be like, yeah, this is Black culture. And then because they have the reach, because they can sell that, they can sell that back to people in the culture, and then that gets reappropriated as like, oh yeah, this is what we do now. And it's very concerning, right? This can be a positive and negative, like with the N-word, right? I feel uncomfortable saying that in mixed company, because for me it's a sign that I can be vulnerable, right? That I can be off my most authentic self, but also like in a you know, camaraderie type of thing. But at the same time, this is knowledge that this is not something that, you know, we know the origins of it, right? But it got reappropriated, and in a way, that reappropriation can be empowering, right? But in other ways, it can be disempowering, such as, you know, with things like this idea of hypermasculinity, for instance, right? Where it comes from this idea of like, oh, Black people are so athletic and, you know, this, that, and the other. Even there is some truth to it, but the truth is simply that Africa is one of the biggest continents in the world it is the biggest continent in the world with the most diverse genetic pool. Right, meaning that you will have the shortest and the tallest people, the lightest skin and the darkest skin, right? The most athletic and probably the least athletic people, all in one continent. And so when a lot of these people are taken, right, you're going to see, you know, some big levels, you're going to see some of that come through. And on top of all that, right, because of slavery, we had this very real genetic control, right, where people were literally breeding Black people to be, you know, faster, stronger, so that they can basically be better workhorses, right, and stuff like that. And so once again, you're going to see that play out and where people are now. So the stereotype, right, the cultural reality has some truth to this idea of Black men being very strong and fast and tall, whatever, or sexual, whatever. It may have some initial, like a seed of truth there, but again, that truth is extremely problematic in and of itself. And then it gets sold out, as and you see, you know, this being seen as the norm in media. And because of that, any black folks that look at this media begin to, you know, think that this is their reality now, right? So the copy of the thing, the simulacra, has become the thing, has become the reality. I'm sure there's some crazy philosophy stuff on that, you know? I think Deleuze or whatever talked about that, or whoever. And we see this playing out. And so all that to say that in hip-hop, right, in the rap community, we see this playing out a lot. And it can be very problematic. So I think there has to be a discussion on, like, do we really want to sell out, right? Selling out has been known to be a bad thing, and yet it's also been known to be a potentially good thing, right? To make money, to make a living, right? No one wants to be the one that says, oh, no, you know, we should have starving artists, or, you know, you shouldn't be able to make a bag off your work. But at the same time, because we live in a capitalist system, in an extremely, you know, racist system, even to this day, a culturally appropriative system, just a lot of bad systems, right, in play right now, you also have to recognize the negative knock-on effects that's going to come from that. So this goes back to me saying about consumerism. Because even if it's true, even though it is definitely true, that you can't really blame consumers for consumerism, right? Like, you're not going to be able to, you know, eat healthy and live sustainably in order to fix climate change and all these other problems in the world, right? However, you're also not going to help anything by being completely ignorant of it, right? Like, yes, it would help if people would eat less meat and consume less and all this other stuff. But we also have to have the understanding that the reason why it's so powerful and so the system is so problematic is because it operates on a level above individual consumers, right? Where entire governments and large companies and things like that can function even though they do not have a direct consumer relationship, right? What I mean by that is, and we see this all the time with tech companies, is that these companies, for instance, can make a product that is not profitable, meaning not enough people are buying the product, or not enough people are buying the product in enough of a, you know, or rather the way that they make the product is far more expensive than what they get when people use the product or buy the product, like Uber. But because the brand is so well known, right, because the valuation of the company is so high, because so many other investors have bought into the idea, the concept of the company, then you get this thing where the company is quote unquote too big to fail. Not because the company literally cannot fail, meaning it's so good that it can't fail, but because it's being propped up by so many things that go beyond what a supposed free market should be able to speak on in terms of success and failures, right? Like in an actual free market, if the distribution of wealth or resources was actually determined by what people, everyday people, want and use, then most of these companies would not exist, right? For the simple fact that the landscape that is created, right, is essentially abstracted from the actual consumption of the thing. Nonetheless, it's still a matter of personal morals and ethics, right? If you want to live a life in which you want to create a better world, you can't do so by ignoring or participating in things that you do actually have a say in. Like, you can determine what music you listen to and what food you eat. You may not be able to determine how that music gets made or how that food gets made or this, that, and the other, but you can still have some some discretion on your consumptive habits. And by aligning, or attempting at least to align your consumptive habits to your actual politics, to your philosophies, to your morals, to your ethics, then not only can you live a more internally self-sustaining or like internally self-consistent lifestyle, but you'll be able to see opportunities that are more aligned with the goals that you want to create, with the world that you want to create. This is why, personally, I am always still an optimist. Even though I can very easily see and think about the pessimistic outlook, I'm an optimist, not because I naively believe things are going to get better, but because I believe that I can help make things better. Right? Because I fundamentally believe that I'm going to do what I can to make the world a better place. Right? It's an active thing. And I think there's too many people who believe that the world should be a better place, or that they know the world is not a good place, but because they just sit back and just consume, or just sit back and be passive about things, it makes it harder to make the world a better place, because that means there's less people participating in the process of making the world a better place. Right? It's thanks to the fact that I don't listen to folks like Drake that I'm able to find so many incredible artists. Like, my playlist is insane. Every time I share my playlist with people, they're like, this is great. I never knew, you know, these people existed. Right? And I'm not even the most dynamic. Like, I have my brother, my partner, you know, I have one of my best friends. Like, they all have playlists that are even, I'm not going to say better, but are even more, you know, dynamic than mine, simply because I don't listen to like R&B, for instance, or certain types of genres. It's just too, like, I have a very particular taste. But anyways, all that to say that, like, if you are not giving space and air to the good things in life, it's very difficult to find those good things in life. It's always easy for me to know when people are not really, don't really have good politics in terms of their consumptive habits, because they say things like, oh, hip hop is dead, or hip hop is mid, or this, that, and the other, right? Because that tells me you have not been looking. I've said multiple times, mainstream hip hop is ass, right? Precisely because it's controlled by the industry. But real hip hop, underground stuff, but not even underground at this point, like, but anything outside of the mainstream is phenomenal. I've said this multiple times. Hip hop has evolved since the 90s and the 80s. It's gotten so much better. I go back regularly to listen to the OGs. And yes, I give them their props for making this and doing this and doing what they've done. But, like, many of these artists today would wash these people. And it's so funny because the artists I listen to will probably never admit such a thing. But as a listener, as a person that understands the art and look and appreciates the art form, the art today is so much better in terms of content, musicality, you know, dynamism, you know, flexibility, adaptability, you know, message, like, so many things is so much better, right? The videos, all that stuff. Don't get me wrong, there's still things that are missing. Like, I think we do need more political stuff, more politically conscious stuff. Like, that part has been a bit evaporated, and precisely because of this idea that you have to play the game, right? And because of that, because you have to quote unquote play the game, many artists are, I think, are scared to really talk about this stuff because they know that it's going to be significantly harder to make a living with their art if they do. And that is one of the other problems of, you know, of saying, oh, get your bag, right? Because it's not in a silo, right? It's not isolated. It's not in the vacuum. The more we congratulate people on selling out, the more the culture will be sold, obviously, right? But what I mean by that is the more the culture will be destroyed. Because you keep giving pieces out, then there's going to be less and less left. Obviously, right? It should be obvious. And we see this in many other areas. This is why this goes beyond rap. This goes beyond hip hop. You see, this is just one example. This is just the current modern day example. But we see the same thing happened in most empires, right? Most cultures, even if they weren't like, whether they were egalitarian or hierarchical, right? Like a lot of the Roman cultures, right? A lot of the places, the things that made up the Roman cultures, right? A lot of the Hellenistic stuff, a lot of the other things across Europe, as well as a lot of the cultures across Africa, a lot of the cultures across Americas, right? Many of those cultures had the same issues, where they expanded to a certain point, and they kept trying to appropriate, and that watered down the culture and to the point where people forgot their own histories and their own heritage, their own practices, their own traditions. Again, this is an old argument I've been saying, but this is why the idea of conservatism is so stupid nowadays. Because many of these people have no culture to conserve, right? It's already been destroyed. So they're conserving something that they're conserving the thing that has destroyed their culture. If conservatism was actually about conserving real traditions, right? Hundreds, thousand-year-old traditions, I'd have no problem with it. That's something we need today. But the fact is, many conservatives don't care about that. Right? They only care about conserving the slice of privilege that they had, that they gained in the last couple of decades under the last big leader. Right? And that's deeply concerning and sad. Anyways, I think the solution here, because you know I love to think about solutions here, is unclear, unfortunately, to be honest. But I think there's some things that we can do here. Like I said, initially, aligning your goals with your tastes, or aligning your tastes with your goals, I think is a big part of this. Like a big part. If you are the type of person that wants to live in a better world, that wants to live in a world where people can have a better life, where your kids are safe, and you know, your sisters and your aunties and your daughters and whatever are safe and protected, then don't listen to misogynistic music, right? Don't support misogynistic artists. Don't support misogynistic laws, right? And regulations and all this other stuff, right? Go out and find the artists, the art forms, the laws and regulations, the whatever technologies that will help those people live that life. If you want to live in a world that is less violent, if you want to live in a world with less war, if you want to live in a world that, you know, has better walkability, whatever, find the art, find the things that are dreaming about that too, that are trying to do that thing too. Because not only will it support those people who actually care, who actually are thinking about these things and want to do these things and all that stuff, but it also aligns your own, you know, spirit. It feels better inside. Like, I'm not depressed anymore. Even with all the stuff going on in the world, it's hard for me to be depressed, right? don't get me wrong, I have my moments where I'm just like, oh man, you've seen it on this podcast. But I always bounce back because I can always turn around and find and listen to JID. I can listen to freaking Schoolboy Q. I can listen to freaking TR Wack or Little Sims or, you know, whatever, right? I can turn around, turn on YouTube and look at Not Just Bikes or freaking FD Signifier or Lil Bill or, you know, Ole or whatever, right? Even when I watch movies, I try to find, that's even harder, unfortunately, because, like, this is why I'm super excited for AI. Even though there's a lot of bullshit with AI, I am excited for the point where people, like, everyday people can just make crazy movies that are really good. Because that will allow people to, you know, make their own blockbuster movies. I don't want to say blockbuster. I don't care about that. But make high-quality movies, you know, without the big budgets. And unfortunately, I'm not sure if we really get there because a lot of AI is parasitizing things to the point where it's making it harder for those types of artists to even last that long, right? Because a lot of their work is being, you know, essentially eaten up one piece at a time. So not even sure if we'll get there, but hopefully we can make that world possible, right? Like, I say this all the time, I'm a Luddite, not because I hate technology or whatever, but because I'm extremely critical and I want things to be better, and I think that things can be better. I think our technology, our music, our politics, our world, right, our culture, everything can be so much better if we just act with more intent, right? If we're more intentional, if we're more conscious, and yeah, if we're woke, right, in terms of the actual things that are going on in the world and how we can move within it, how we can move to stop those things, to move past them, to fix these problems. And I hope those listening can take this stuff to heart. Because like I said, there's so much great stuff in the world right now. And it's unfortunate that it's so difficult to find them. As I mentioned in the last one, it should be easier to do good things. It should be way, way easier to be a good person, to help other people, to enjoy life, to live a fulfilling life. It should be way easier than what it is today. We have the means to do so. We have 8 billion people on this earth, over 8 billion people on this earth. Many of them are incredibly amazing people. Many of them can make incredibly awesome things. So let's make a world where it's possible to actually do that. To find people that you know, enjoy. To find work and art that you enjoy. Yeah, I guess I ended there. It's already been a little bit longer than I intended, but I was aiming for 30 minutes, but you know how I do. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for thinking with me. Let me know what you think, what you've gained from this. If you have any critiques or thoughts yourself, I would love to hear them. And keep being awesome. Don't be afraid to be radical. Don't be afraid to be revolutionary. Love yourself, love others, find the awesome stuff out there, and have a great day. See ya. Bye-bye.